Welcome to the Eldritch Estate, an establishment dedicated to the bizarre, the dark, and all that is otherworldly. We invite our guests to come and stay a while, to enjoy the haunted hallways, the shrieks of terror and delight, to forget time in our enchantingly disturbing abode. Whether it's for an overnighter or a week-long stay, our hostesses will see to it that you are shocked, horrified, and left morbidly curious about the goings-on here at the estate. Will you take a trip with us? We can't wait for you to see what's in store.
Hello, and welcome back to the Eldritch Estate. I'm Dusty.
And I'm Katie.
And it's another Halloween bonus episode. We were just discussing that we need a soundboard, but we also don't need a soundboard because we are the soundboard, so hope you enjoy all of those sounds.
There's no escaping it.
So today we are doing Halloween true crime. There's a bunch of cases that have happened on Halloween because, like, it's an ooky spooky time of the year and, like, crazy shit happens, and sometimes Mercury's in Gatorade or there's a full moon or whatever.
The stolar storms
are up and about.
Fucking everybody up.
Creating mischief.
On goats.
So we found a couple of those stories in particular that are going to be in the next few Halloween bonus episodes. Today, the one that we're going to be covering is Ronald O'Brien, a.k.a. the Candyman, or the man who killed Halloween.
Not Ronald McDonald.
Not Ronald McDonald, and also not the urban legend of the Candyman. Which, by the way, go see that movie. I heard it's amazing. Support black horror filmmakers.
Is that, like, the one where you say Candyman in the mirror?
Yes.
Or whatever?
Yes.
Okay.
And like I said, that comes from an urban legend, kind of like Bloody Mary or Beetlejuice.
We should do an urban legend episode.
We will do an urban legends episode.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Word.
I'm in.
So, about Ronald Clark O'Brien, who is not the same as the urban legend Candyman.
Or Ronald McDonald.
Correct. He was born on October 19th, 1944. He was married to a woman named Danine, and they had two children.
That is such a pretty name.
Is it?
I like it.
I'm glad you like
it. I would have said that, like, Danine, though.
Danine.
Danine.
I'm pretty sure it's Danine.
It's very pretty.
And they had two children, Timothy and Elizabeth. Timothy was born in 1966, and Elizabeth was born in 1969. They lived in Deer Park, Texas, and Ronald worked as an optician at Texas State Optical in Sharpstown, Houston. He was also a deacon and sang in the choir at Second Baptist Church, and he was in charge of a local bus program. Everything about this man seemed totally normal. Happy suburban family, wife and two kids, white picket fence, the whole deal.
You know who else seemed normal like that?
Fucking every serial killer ever.
On God.
I was just listening to a podcast about John Wayne Gacy and how he was, like, so charismatic.
Compartmentalized as fuck, dude.
Yeah.
Scary.
And they were talking about how the crawl space underneath his house was beginning to, like, stink so bad from all the bodies down there, and how his wife was complaining about it, and he was just like, oh, there's just some water that's gotten down in there, and so it's like, you know, the standing water is what kind of smells, and like, I'll take care of it, don't worry. Meanwhile, this woman and her children are living on top of, like, dozens of dead bodies.
The second anybody tries to tell me that the smell of a decomposing corpse
is some standing water,
they can go fuck themselves.
Yeah.
Pineapple in the butt, no lube, that circle of hell.
Oh.
Yep.
Duly noted.
It's a Little Nicky.
Yep, you're right. I remember that now.
Yep.
But beneath the surface, the family was struggling. Financial troubles had them in a bind, and it wouldn't be long before Ronald turned to desperate measures to try and fix their money problem.
I have a feeling 1944 kind of problems. You're not fixing it in a normal way. You're not fixing it by, like,
Getting a second job.
Or selling stinky socks, or making an OnlyFans.
Refinancing the house.
You have much...
1940s OnlyFans.
Only cans. Shake your can.
Also, it seems like a ton of the serial killers or, like, huge murders that we talk about are, like, during the late 60s and 70s, and it's just, like, everyone's like, oh, you know, I miss the good old days when, you know, America was full of fucking serial killers? Is that what you miss? Because
yep.
That's what you're talking about when you say the good old days.
And when a lot of cops were like, I don't know. Are you gonna figure it out?
I don't know. I don't know.
Please, who? People getting chopped up, homie.
Yeah. And they're like, have you found the killer? And they're like, no. And they're like, do you have any leads? And they're like, I don't know. On the night of October 31st, 1974, Ronald took his children trick-or-treating for Halloween, along with his neighbor Jim Bates and his two children. They went trolling to the Pasadena, Texas area near Harris County. It had been drizzling on and off that evening, and so the adults had only taken the children to a handful of houses on one or two streets. According to the report, the children ran up to the house of one Mr. Courtney Melvin. When the children knocked and rang the doorbell, there was no answer. They began to get impatient and left to run along to the next house. O'Brien said he would stay behind and wait to see if the occupant of the house ended up coming out. A few minutes later, O'Brien caught up with the kids and presented what he said was the candy from that house. He told the children the person had eventually opened the door and given him these 5 huge pixie sticks. In case you're not familiar, pixie sticks are these plastic tubes that look a bit like straws, and they're legit filled with, like, colored, flavored sugar candy. Like, that's it. It's just the whole candy. Sugar and in a tube.
If you're our age, like, half of y'all, more than half of y'all have snorted one. Like, the smaller ones are paper tubes.
Yeah, we all know that guy in high school that used to snort the freaking pixie stick powder.
At me.
So a normal pixie sticks candy is about 6 inches, and back in 1974, they were about that size. These ones that O'Brien had produced were 21 inches long. So the kids were ecstatic. They're like, yeah. Oh my god, giant pixie stick, right? They do make, like, jumbo-sized ones nowadays, but I think in the 70s it was mostly just those smaller ones.
So where the fuck did he get them? Oh, I don't like it. Okay. Okay.
Shortly after this, it began to rain again, and so the families headed home. O'Brien had given the pixie sticks to his two children, Timothy and Elizabeth, and he'd given 2 more to Jim Bates's 2 kids. The 5th and last pixie sticks candy he gave to a boy in his neighborhood that he recognized from church before returning home for the evening. Later that night, Timothy asked if he could eat some of his Halloween candy, to which Ronald agreed. According to Ronald, Timothy picked the pixie sticks tube. Timothy was having trouble getting the candy open and getting the sugary powder out of it, so Ronald helped him. Mm-hmm. After having a taste of the candy, Timothy complained that it was strangely bitter. He didn't like the taste at all. Ronald gave him some Kool-Aid to help wash the taste out of his mouth. I'm going to give a blanket trigger warning here. We are going to be mentioning the death of a child, and it is hard to listen to. So if you would like to skip ahead a few seconds, go ahead and hit that skip button. I'm going to talk about this.
Skip. Skip. I ate it.
Immediately after this, Timothy said that his stomach hurt and he ran to the bathroom. He began convulsing and vomiting. Ronald would later claim that he held Timothy as he was vomiting, and then the boy, quote, went limp in my arms.
No.
Timothy O'Brien died en route to the hospital less than an hour after consuming the candy. He was 8 years old.
What a piece of shit. Not the kid, the guy.
Yeah, it's very sad. And, like, the other thing is, like, you killed a child.
You killed your child.
Like, that's on a whole other level, right?
Well, because you hear of these people being fucking compartmentalized monsters, mm-hmm. and then their kids find out that they're a, you know, fucking voracious murderer.
Right, and the kids are always like, what? That's crazy. Like, he was always a great dad. That wasn't my dad at all. Right.
So, like, for you to be untapped, fucked up like that, to kill your own fucking, that makes me sick.
Yeah. Disgusting human being. Obviously, this death caused a panic in the streets of Deer Park, where the O'Brien family lived. Several families began turning in their candy, fearing that their children, too, would perish should they consume it. After the autopsy, it was revealed that the pixie sticks candy Timothy had ingested was laced with potassium cyanide.
No.
Police were able to recover the pixie sticks from Ronald O'Brien and Jim Bates before any of the other children had opened them and consumed them. The fifth child, whom Ronald had known from church that he gave the last pixie sticks to, very nearly had a similar fate. Police contacted his family the night of the incident, and after searching through his candy, the parents couldn't find the pixie sticks.
Oh.
Hysterical and worried that their children had eaten the poisoned candy, they went upstairs to his bedroom. They found him asleep in his bed, holding the unopened tube of candy.
Damn.
I have fucking goosebumps.
By the skin of his teeth, bro.
He hadn't been able to get it open on his own, and he was safe. He hadn't eaten the candy.
That's good.
But, like, can you imagine you find this out, and I still have fucking goosebumps. You run upstairs, and your child is, like, hugging this candy that's, like, poison, and they, like, were gonna eat it, or tried to eat it, but they couldn't get into it. Like, holy shit.
That's fucking awful.
What the fuck? Investigators noticed that the candy tubes, while unreasonably large, were also shut tight with staples. Indeed, it would be difficult for any child to open it on their own. Upon closer inspection, they discovered that the tubes had been opened once already, then resealed with the staples, presumably after the potassium cyanide had been added.
Yuck.
For the local police department, there were a few persons of interest for this investigation. O'Brien initially told the police that he could not remember which house he got the pixie sticks from. The police became suspicious because O'Brien and his neighbor had only taken their children to homes on two streets because it had been raining. So, like, it kind of fucking narrows it down, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Their suspicions increased after learning that none of the homes they visited had given out pixie sticks. Because, like, when you go trick-or-treating, you know which houses are giving out which candy. You're like, that's the guy that gives out the king-size candy bar.
I was going to say, you always know the full-size candy bar house.
Yeah, that's the people that give out caramel apples instead of candy. That's the people that always have, like, some fucking gluten-free, home-baked granola whatever bullshit.
Hey, hey, hey. I'm allergic to everything. I look forward to that house.
Now you do. But as a child, you would have been like, nah.
That guy gives out dental floss and pennies.
Mm. So... yeah, they figure out that none of the homes in that area were giving out pixie sticks. After walking the neighborhood with the police three times, O'Brien led them to the home where no one had answered the door. O'Brien claimed that he went back there before catching up with the group. He said the owner of the home did not turn the lights on, but did crack the door open and hand him the five pixie sticks.
Just mysteriously knew how many fucking kids they had.
Yeah, totally.
Plus one.
He claimed to have only seen the man's arm, which he described as hairy. Like, come on, bro.
First of all, you're going to blame a straight-up murder on him.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to call him Harry.
Yeah.
Rude.
So, this home, of course, belonged to Courtney Melvin. Melvin was an air traffic controller at William P. Hobby Airport and did not get home from work until 11 p.m. on Halloween night. Police ruled Melvin out as a suspect when nearly 200 people confirmed that he had been at work.
Wow.
So, like... sure, sure, Ronald. He opened the door and gave you the pixie sticks.
With a hairy arm.
Totally.
You dick.
And they were home by, like, 10 p.m. or earlier. Like, Timmy didn't even try to eat the candy until right around, like, 10 p.m., I think the report said.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, there's absolutely no way.
No.
Like I said, his alibi is rock solid. He was not there. He did not give them the candy. As the investigation continued, police learned that Ronald O'Brien was over $100,000 in debt, which would be equivalent to about $500,000 in 2020.
Ugh. That has to feel, like, soul-crushing to carry that amount of debt.
Yeah, and I imagine it's very scary, too, because you have a family and kids, and you're trying to, like, keep your head above water and keep the house and all of these things, right?
I've carried a smidgen of that amount of debt, and it felt like it was crushing my insides. Ugh.
He also had a history of being unable to hold a job. Mm. In the 10 years preceding the crime, O'Brien had held 21 jobs.
Wow.
Bro.
Wow.
And it kind of makes you wonder why? Like, what about him made him so apparently unemployable?
Well, like, and was he getting fired or was he quitting?
I don't know.
Because I know both of those kind of people, and it's interesting the difference.
Yeah, at the time of his arrest here, it says he was suspected of theft at his job at Texas State Optical and was close to being fired. His car was about to be repossessed, he had defaulted on several bank loans, and the family home had been foreclosed on.
Jeez.
So yeah, he's in a shitty situation for sure.
Self-inflicted.
Yeah, it says here he was suspected of theft, so like, Maybe that's why he was getting fired from all those jobs. Maybe it was, like, he wouldn't show up. Maybe he was just fucking weird and people didn't like him. I don't know.
Maybe he was just a piece of shitbag murderer.
Could be. Police discovered that Ronald had taken out life insurance policies on his children in the months preceding Timothy's death.
Everybody knows you can't do that.
Right? Well, and this is in the 70s, so it was, like, not as well known, or it was, like, wouldn't be something that they would immediately come to their mind.
But yeah. They nowadays, they were like, oh, her husband mysteriously vanished?
Mm-hmm.
What's the life insurance policy on him like?
Yep, like, that's the very
next question.
When
did they take it out?
Yeah, like, what about the marriage, you know, paperwork? Is there a prenup? Like, what's going on?
Did little Johnny run away?
Yeah.
Question one.
In January 1974, he had taken out $10,000 life insurance policies on both his children, and that would be equivalent to $52,476 in 2020.
A lot of money.
A lot of money. On both children. 1 month before Timothy's death, he took out an additional $20,000 policy on both children, despite the objections of his life insurance agency. Which I'm like, but they still let you do it. So now he's got $30,000 out on each kid. In the days preceding Timothy's death, so that was in the month preceding, 1 month preceding Timothy's death. In the days preceding Timothy's death, he had taken out yet another $20,000 policy on each child.
He's over here just trying to make it equivalent to the $100,000 he's in debt.
Literally. The various policies totaled approximately $60,000.
Yep.
Like, you're a fucking shitbag of a human being.
Yep.
I can't imagine. His wife, Deneen, maintained that she did not know about the insurance policies on her children's lives. Police also learned that on the morning after Timothy's death, Ronald had called his insurance company to inquire about collecting the policies he had taken out on his son. Like, the very next morning. Your son just died. Tragically, horribly. Like, in the most awful way. And you call up the insurance company the next morning. Hey, can I get that money now?
I'm sorry, I don't know that I would even be able to tell you my own fucking name.
Right?
Wow. What a piece of shit, dude.
Right? It was then that police learned Ronald had visited a chemical supply store in Houston to buy cyanide shortly before Halloween 1974. However, he left without purchasing anything after learning that the smallest amount available to purchase was 5 pounds. They then began to suspect that Ronald O'Brien had laced the candies with poison in an effort to kill his children to collect on their life insurance policies. They believe he gave the other children poisoned candy in an effort to cover up his crime. Police repeatedly questioned him, but he maintained his innocence.
No.
Which, like, that pisses me off, too, that, like, you nearly killed 3 other children that aren't even yours. Like, he gave them to his son and his daughter, and he gave them to his neighbor's 2 kids, and he gave them to that boy he knew from church.
You know what this is reminding me of? The poisoned, I think it was Excedrin.
Oh.
And the lady ended up having, like, 4 of the poisoned bottles, and then, like, randomly other people had purchased the ones that she slipped onto the shelf in the store.
Oh my god.
Uh-huh. But then they're like, why do you have, like, I think it was, like, between 2 and 4, they're like, why do you have so many bottles of these that your husband mysteriously died from taking Excedrin?
Jesus.
And, like, just killed random fucking other people to cover up the murder of her husband.
Right?
Not okay.
That's at that point, you've lost all logic. Like, you're in so deep. Like, right, he did this so that he could get his family out of debt. But something in
what family? You're done killing them off like
flies.
You
killed your fucking family. So, I don't know, man. Yeah, like I said, the logical process is completely broken down. Right?
Yep, it's gone.
Oh my gosh. On November 5th, 1974, Ronald O'Brien was arrested on suspicion of murder.
Good.
He was indicted on 1 count of capital murder and 4 counts of attempted murder.
Good.
Because he did. He fucking attempted to kill those other kids.
Yes.
Ronald entered a plea of not guilty to all 5 crimes. This pisses me off so bad, too, that he's like, I'm innocent. I didn't do it. It's like, okay, who the fuck did then?
Tell me about the brick of cyanide you were trying to buy, you dickbag.
Seriously. The trial began on May 5th, 1975. A chemist who was acquainted with Ronald had testified that in the summer of 1973, he had been asking him about cyanide and how much would be fatal. A chemical supply salesman also testified that Ronald had asked him how to purchase cyanide.
Friends, the human version of his Google search history.
Yeah. Friends and coworkers testified that in the months before Timothy's death, he showed a, quote, unusual interest in cyanide and spoke about how much it would take to kill a person. Like, motherfucker, could you be any more suspicious? Like, I don't know about you, but if my coworker or my friend was like, hey, so, like, cyanide, like, how much do you think it would take to kill a person? Or, like, where do you think you could buy some cyanide? Like, crazy, right? Cyanide. I'd be like, 911, there's a fucking murderer.
Yup.
I don't know if they're gonna do anything yet, but they're talking about cyanide a whole lot.
Ring, ring, is it the police? Yes, it is.
Yeah, it's the sound of the police.
I mean, if we didn't have a true crime podcast, I feel like, in, like, random salon conversation, it could come up. People being like, it takes one granule, and I'd be like, does it really take one granule?
I think if you're just speaking about it in, like, a... an in like your curious kind of way, but they said that he had an unusual interest.
Well, and he's asking like a lot of people on different occasions.
Right. Again, like you're leaving basically a paper trail. This chemist friend of yours, a chemical supply salesman, friends and coworkers. And can you imagine if it was the same person every single time you go to work being like, you guys, fucking cyanide, right? And you'd be like, okay. Yeah, gonna report
you. What's that weird smell from under your house?
Seriously.
It's not standing water.
You know, you look a little tired. Did you get any sleep last night? Why wouldn't you have gotten any sleep last night? Does it have anything to do with the fucking cyanide you keep talking about?
Ugh. I hate it. Like, I'm really thankful that I don't... I technically sell chemicals. Shampoo, though. It's different. Could you imagine working at, like, a pool supply or something, though?
Mm-hmm.
Like... what kind of log you keep in to make sure you're not accidentally selling a murderer chemicals, you know what I mean?
Right, and if the same person comes in repeatedly, like, you gotta put a limit on what they can buy, like, I'm sorry, you've already purchased too much fucking chlorine, you need to stop, or whatever, I don't know.
That's fucking scary, man. Yeah. I'm really happy that, like, you don't murder people with shampoo.
Word. Might give them a little bit of a headache.
You may get the poo-poos, but you ain't gonna die.
Yeah. Police were actually never able to discover where he eventually purchased the cyanide.
Because he probably did it under a guise.
Probably. Okay. This is kind of heavy. Just, again, prepare yourself.
Skip.
Ronald's...
Skip.
Skip if you need to. And this isn't graphic, it's not concerning necessarily the actual death, but it's just... it gives you, like, that disgusting feeling of a fucking slime ball of a human being, so. Ronald's sister-in-law and brother-in-law testified that on the day of Timothy's funeral, he was speaking about using the money from Timothy's insurance policy to take a long vacation and buy other items.
What the fuck? He didn't even, like...
on the day of your son's funeral... which you fucking caused. You killed your son.
You're which talking fuck about yourself for even attending that funeral.
Right. You're fucking talking about taking a long vacation and buying stuff with the money from his fucking life insurance policy.
And what the fuck?
Like, die in a fire, dude.
Yeah.
Fucking burn for all eternity.
Choke on bees.
The worst kind of person.
Choke on bees.
Lots of bees.
I mean, the bees don't even deserve that.
Yeah. Don't do that to bees. Just maybe, like, robot bees. Like
robot birds. Bees.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Robot birds, but, like, robot bees.
Yep.
Yeah. Additionally, his wife rejected the claim that Timothy chose the pixie sticks that night, stating that Ronald had, in fact, forced him to choose the pixie sticks when Timothy was saying, like, hey, can I eat some of my Halloween candy? And he said to the courts that Timothy picked the pixie sticks, but actually, his wife says, no, Ronald was the one that forced him to choose the pixie sticks.
Man, fuck this guy.
Ronald's defense lawyer played on the decades-old strangers poisoned the candy myth, even though to date there are no documented cases of strangers poisoning Halloween candy. We see this, like, myth go around every Halloween season. Like, check your kids' candy for fucking razor blades and weed and whatever. It's like, nobody's putting that shit in Halloween candy,
Karen. Over here like, what house handing out edibles?
Right?
I got some friends that are going to check
into
that.
Nobody is giving away their weed for your fucking kids to get high.
No.
Nobody.
No. I did watch a very funny TikTok of this lady's dad standing there, and he's like happy food dancing, eating a bag of gummy bears. And she walks up and she's filming him and she's like, "Dad, how many of those have you eaten?" And he's like, "I don't know, like half a bag." Oh. And then it cuts to him in a recliner with like his glasses halfway fallen off, and he is just cackling, and like his beard's all a mess and his eyes are all squinty, and he's like losing his shit. Yeah. It's pretty funny.
That's TikTok. A lot. Yeah, I saw a similar one like that, and the guy's eating a brownie, and they're like, "Dude, how many of those did you eat?" And he's like, "3, why?" And then he goes, "Oh," because he fucking realizes. So yeah, that was the defense lawyer's whole case, was, "Oh, it was a stranger's poisoning the Halloween candy." And like I said, this goes back decades. People have been saying this almost since the beginning of Halloween candy.
There are literally like news PSAs to check your kids' Halloween candy.
Yeah.
And like, are there documented cases of it? No, but do I pick through her candy to make sure that there's not like holes or anything sharp or anything?
Yeah, it's still a good idea. Or like if some candies, like the wrapper came off and it's open in the bag, like, yeah, we're gonna throw that one out. I get it.
Most local fire departments will check your kids' Halloween candy too. I don't know if you know that. They have like a station, you bring their little bag down and they will rifle through the candy and make sure that it's safe for your kid.
Cool.
Fun fact.
The case and trial garnered much media attention, and Ronald was dubbed the Candyman.
How about the fuck that guy, man?
Yeah, how about the fucking dirty child murderer who killed his own son?
Yep.
That's a catchy nickname.
Yeah.
While we're on the topic of nicknames for killers, don't do it.
No. If you pick your own out, I'm gonna make fun of you.
Yeah. We're at you, BTK.
Yep.
On June 3rd...
What was it? Like, the poetic killer? Whatever the fuck he wanted.
Yeah.
the suggested names he picked out were fucking horrible.
I know we keep saying we're gonna do a BTK episode, but like...
We are.
We gotta work up to it, because there's a lot, you guys.
It's so stupid. Like, so incredibly dumb.
Yeah. And he don't even look like a hardened killer.
No.
He fucking looks like your Uncle Rick or some shit. Like,
Yep.
Uncle Dennis. Okay, so on Dunkle Dennis. Fucking Dennis.
Not Funkle, Dunkle. He's the dumb uncle.
Mm-hmm. The fucking dumb uncle. The fuduncle. On June 3rd, 1975, a jury took 46 minutes to find Ronald O'Brien guilty of capital murder and 4 counts of attempted murder.
Good.
The jury took 71 minutes to sentence him to death by electrocution.
Damn.
Yeah. They were like, washing their hands of this shit. They were like, quick, in and out, let's get it done.
Toodaloo, motherfucker.
Motherfucker, you guilty. Bye now.
Mm-hmm.
Shortly after he was convicted, his wife filed for divorce. She later remarried, and her new husband adopted her daughter, Elizabeth.
Good.
Which, like, I'm very happy that her and Elizabeth are okay. Obviously, it's awful what happened to Timothy, but when you think about the fact that he could have killed 5 or more children, because, like, that's a fucking lot of Pixie Sticks candy, and somebody might have been like, "Hey, can I have some? Like, want to share?" Kids share all the time.
Yup.
So, like, so many more deaths could have come from this. No deaths should have come from this, because fuck that guy, and he shouldn't have done it in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
But I am happy that at least they were able to, it seems like, move escape on and create a new family out of this. Ronald was sent to the Ellis 1 unit near Huntsville, Texas, where death row inmates were kept at the time. He had several days delays of execution, so it was delayed, lots of postponements and appeals. He was originally supposed to have died by the electric chair, but after some time had passed, lethal injection became the method of execution. So again, this is Texas. Like, we all know the death penalty is like...
There's an express lane.
Right. They take it pretty seriously around there.
You get fast passes like Disneyland.
Yeah. And as the end of the 70s, I can't believe you just said that.
Should we cut that out? I said the word Disney and I'm a little scared.
I'll think about it when I'm editing. I'll look at it.
All right. And if you don't take it out, hashtag please don't sue us.
So, yeah, as the 70s come and go, and we're entering the 80s now, and he's still on death row, because, like I said, he appealed this. His death was postponed several times. He was just, like, he was trying to get out of it. He maintained his innocence until the very end. Like, fucking, you did that shit, dude. Own up to it.
Yep.
So by this time, lethal injection was the main method of execution for those who had the death penalty. His lawyers
are... I feel like he could have took the zapper.
Well, like I said, it just wasn't the main method anymore. And that still varies from state to state. Like, I think...
Are there still places that use the electric chair?
Yes.
Damn! And
there is also a case that I was listening to recently where the guy requested a death by firing squad. And I want to say it was Texas. And so they granted it because they were like, yeah, we can still do that. Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
I mean, it's a little morbid, but maybe we could do an episode on execution methods.
Death penalty, execution methods. We could even go way back to, like, guillotine stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. His lawyers argued that injection was, quote, cruel and unusual punishment, and he was postponed once again.
Cruel and unusual punishment is what your what happened to your fucking kid.
Right. What you did to your fucking son was cruel and unusual, dude. I don't care how you die.
I feel like how they... If you kill someone and you get the death penalty, you should be killed the way you killed someone. Like you dead him back.
That is dark.
Yeah. Yeah.
But also, don't be a fucking murderer.
Don't be an asshole.
How about that?
Don't kill people.
Don't kill people. Hashtag not a murderer.
Don't
be a murderer. People. Hashtag don't be a murderer.
A murderer.
A murderer. Interestingly enough, his execution date was once scheduled for Halloween night in 1982. The judge even offered to drive Ronald there himself.
Wow.
He was strongly disliked by all the other inmates for his murder of his own child, and he was, quote, notoriously friendless.
Good.
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 I hope nobody wanted to associate with you after you poisoned your innocent child.
He was 8.
He was 8! Finally, on March 31st, 1984, just after midnight, Ronald O'Brien was executed by lethal injection.
Bye, bitch.
He maintained his innocence to the very end. His final statement is as follows. Quote, "What is about to transpire in a few moments is wrong. However, we as human beings do make mistakes and errors. This execution is one of those wrongs, yet doesn't mean our whole system of justice is wrong. Therefore, I would forgive all who have taken part in any way in my death. Also, to anyone I have offended in any way during my 39 years, I pray and ask for your forgiveness, just as I forgive anyone who offended me in any way. And I pray and ask for God's forgiveness for all of us, respectively, as human beings. To my loved ones, I extend my undying love. To those close to me, know in your hearts I love you one and all. God bless you all, and may God's best blessings be always yours." End quote. So he's really out here trying to act like he's a martyr and, like, he was innocent and I love you all and may God forgive you, da-da-da-da. You're a fucking child murderer, bro. Not just a child, your child.
Yep. Fuck that guy.
During the execution, a crowd of over 300 demonstrators gathered outside the prison and they cheered while some yelled, "Trick or treat."
Oh!
Others showered anti-death penalty demonstrators with candy. And that is the case of Ronald O'Brien, a.k.a. the Candyman.
A.k.a. a giant dick.
A.k.a. fuck that guy.
Actually, a little bitty bit dick. Mm. A small one. A stinky one. Fuck that guy.
Yeah, so it's obviously a tragic case, but it's very interesting. It is a Halloween night murder, like we said, and it's just so, like... So slimy, too.
Greasy.
Kids and candy. You really used Halloween candy to kill your own child.
The worst thing that you should ever do to your child on Halloween is eat their Reese's.
For real. You should be eating their candy, and that's what should make them be like, please don't. Did you eat all my candy? Like, oh, that should be the worst.
The Jimmy Fallon thing.
Yeah.
It's wonderful. And it, like, humbling as fuck when your kid's all sweet about it. I'm like, hey, kid, I ate all your candy. And she's like, oh. Was it good?
Aww.
And I'm like, stop it! You're gutting me!
Yeah.
It was excellent. And then she gets a little, like, boo-boo face. I'm like, no, 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 it's in the kitchen.
I'm just kidding. Oh, so yeah, that was a doozy.
Yeah, that was a thing. Fuck that guy.
So that's the man who killed Halloween.
And then they killed him back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, don't ruin Halloween for anybody, you guys.
No, and, like, don't kill your kid.
This should be...
Don't kill anybody, but definitely don't kill your kid.
Yeah. Don't be a murderer. Don't kill anyone, especially your kid. Don't keep it that weird, as Ash would say. Yeah, so that's it for this episode, and remember, you can check out anytime you like,
but you can never leave.
Bye!
Toodaloo!